Today on the Callahan Podcast, we ask yet again, one more time, what the hell was he thinking? This time we're talking about the former New York Mets general manager. We'll tell you how he self-destructed this morning. Another wild story. We got a new test. If you want to be in the National Guard, if you want to be in the Secret Service, according to at least one Democrat congressman, you got to prove you didn't vote for the other guy. Getting a little scary out there. And another day to pay tribute to the freak, the freakiest of all time, Tom Brady, who faces Aaron Rodgers in the conference championship game this weekend. Can't wait. We're getting all that and more today on the Callahan Podcast, brought to you by DCU. Do you love your car but hate your car payment? No problem. Refinance your car today with DCU, and they can help lower your monthly payment, lower your interest rate, or both. Applying is easy, and their loan experts will help you find the loan term, the payment that fits into your budget. Get out of that high-rate loan and get the interest rate and the payment you deserve from DCU. Learn more and apply today at dcu.org/refinance. Insured by NCUA, membership required. All right, Kellen, let's go.
This is the Jerry Callahan Podcast.
Wow, that was quick. The New York Mets have fired their general manager, who was in Boston working for the Reds. Maybe learned how to do these things, you know, learned how to be a GM while he was in Boston. Not those other things, but this is one of those cases, and I can't speak for Dave Cullinane or certainly Alex Reimer. One of those cases where I can look and honestly say, what the hell were you thinking? It is something I would never, ever do. I've never done it. I can't imagine doing it. I can't imagine wanting to do it, especially not even to someone, you know, to my wife. I couldn't imagine doing it. This guy is doing it to a woman who's already shunned his advances, you know, hundreds of times, including 62 unanswered messages. That's my rule, Alex and Dave, my rule. When you see the same color come down on all the text on your phone for 62 straight messages, you might want to move on. That person.
My limit's 20. Like, if they don't 20, respond back yeah. to 20, I'm thinking, oh, maybe they don't like me. I mean, but, you know,
I was never a single man during the texting or sexting or dick pic era, but the idea that you would persist after she ignored you 62 times. I'm pretty sure she's sending you a message, you know, without actually sending you a message. And I'm afraid, I'm looking at Reimer right now, I'm afraid to hear what his take on this is.
Well, I mean, our text history would beg differently. You've sent a few messages in a row that have gone unanswered. They've been a little too hot to touch. So
there's some mysteries in life, and sometimes I just need clarification, explanation. And God knows I turn to my friend Alex Reimer or my friend Dave Cullinane on this, but does this ever work? I mean, when you think about it, if you're just hearing the story, his name is Jared Porter, former Red Sox executive.
That's the most important part. Let's lead with that.
Former right? Red Sox. I'm serious. I want to know if he did this. Is this the kind of thing you just do spur of the moment? One day you do it, or do you build up to it? Do you think there's a history of this here? He is he was named the Mets GM. When was he named the Mets GM?
Fairly this year, this
December, right?
Yeah, fairly December, recently. Yeah. He's got the dream job, making millions in New York, the Mets. And there's a reporter. This was in Chicago when he was briefly in Chicago. A reporter, a foreign correspondent, and I'm going to guess she's a looker. I'm going to guess she's an attractive lady.
Just like he's an attractive man. Boom, perfect together.
And he's making the move on her and trying to get her to respond. He texts her over and over. And finally, you know, the first 62 messages of, you know, why won't you call me back? Why won't you give me the time of day? She turns him down, blows him off. And he says, I got an idea. Here's the way to really win her over. Pulls out little Jared, takes a picture of, and this is all over the New York Post, Daily News, it's everywhere. Takes a picture of his erect penis and sends it to her. She waits a while before outing him, but finally the story breaks overnight. He's before, you know, most people are out of bed, he's fired. So last year they had a manager that didn't last a day. in Carlos Beltran, and now they have a GM who doesn't make it to spring training. And this is a guy, as Dave pointed out, from Duxbury, a guy who went to Bowdoin.
Well,
Bowdoin guys.
Wait, yeah, I always say you got to be on the lookout for them. Never know what to expect.
You know what they say? They just love to whip it out.
He could have been the article recently was he was a two sport athlete. He could have been in the NHL as well. Is that he's actually cousins with Mike Sullivan, who's won a Stanley Cup with the Penguins.
Oh, and you're telling me this girl didn't want to go for him with that kind of resume?
He just throws it all away. It's just amazing. You know what? I'm going to take credit because I came up with this idea before Louis C.K. Okay, now you're wondering what I'm going to say, right?
Wow, that was like
I think I know what it's about. It's about his line about pedophiles.
I probably did it with you on the radio. We talked about it.
I've heard Louis C.K. before. What are you talking about?
No, but Louis C.K. stole it from me. Did it on Saturday Night. Okay. It was one of the great monologues of all time because everyone in the audience was just so uncomfortable. But he talked about the mysteriously mysterious appeal of molesting, I guess it would be priests molesting children. Why can't they, they throw their whole life away, their reputation, their job, everything, throw it away to do that, which he says, he compared it to eating a Snickers bar because he loves Snickers bar and he can't resist them. And he says,
he loves other.
And his line was always, it must be so much better than a Snickers bar. And the whole audience is cringing, but it was a good, edgy riff because you look at this and you say, the risk reward. So he sends a wiener picture to the woman, to the reporter from the foreign correspondent. And we haven't seen any pictures or don't even have her name, do we?
No.
I haven't seen it, and which is fine. But he's got a great job. He's making millions. He's running a team, a major league team. And he does this unless he's a total moron.
Yeah, but he was a nobody then. When it happened, so right.
Well, not a nobody. He was in Chicago as an assistant GM, correct?
I think he was like the director of scouting or something. Yeah.
Director of scouting. So he's got a real, you're right. He wasn't a GM, but he was living the dream. I mean, he was a baseball executive. He was probably thinking, I'm going to be a GM, correct? Like he was on the fast track.
Yes.
So he knows if he gets caught, if she, and she doesn't even like him, that she's not like, again, she's got no loyalty to him at all.
The crazy thing is they met once briefly. And from that interaction, this all started.
Well, that's probably where the story is. I mean, we could talk about dick pics and the guy's a lonely loser, all this stuff all day long. But she's going into this situation thinking she has a source within the Cubs organization who she's meeting up with for stories. And he immediately turns that into a potential sexual relationship.
Oh, Jerry, though, I mean, if someone, hello, beautiful. Then 2 hours later, where did you go? And then, if you text someone at 2 a.m, I'm bored, as he did. That is how you get them going.
Oh, is that the trick?
That's the trick, Jerry.
Well, I understand.
The most embarrassing part for him outside of the dick pic is the frowny faces that he's sending this girl as well. I mean,
there was some he's 41 and he got hired last month.
I think frowny faces.
And so he was sending emojis. That's worse than dick pics, sending emojis. Grown man, 41-year-old man, sending frowny faces. I mean, I know he might have been a high school athlete, but he's kind of a fat guy now, right? He's kind of a chubby guy, and maybe he's lonely. But my question again is not that he was stalking her. That's bad. Stalking her is bad. But thinking, the mindset, the mentality, maybe you could, thinking this will win her over. This is the moment where I finally win her over.
We've talked about this all the time. I mean, wasn't on Roger Ailes and people like that are obviously way above this, but it's a similar mentality where you're like, if you're just normal to women, you have so much money, talking like a Roger Ailes or a Harvey Weinstein, you don't have to rape girls, but they think that's what they need to do. This guy on the same level is like, I need to text her 60 times. Like I want it and I need to have it. And that's it. And that's what they think it is.
He looks and sounds like a loser. He's a GM of a major league. He sounds like a loser who
pathetic.
Like he can't, has no love life or, no sense of how this works, what women want.
I want you to answer me, beautiful.
I'm talking to Reamer about what women want.
They know what they want.
He texted her when he was in Los Angeles, and he said he was at the best hotel in America and asked if she could meet him there. He subsequently sent 17 photos displaying the hotel and the facilities. Wow, look at the pool. I'm at the best hotel in the world. But included a shot of his pants with a bulge and then a photo of the naked erect penis. Later, the woman said she received help in composing her first reply, calling his text offensive and inappropriate. He apologized and said he would stop. This was, but by the way, this is true. You read the story. ESPN knew about the pictures in 2017.
Right.
You know, 4 years ago.
Well, no, but they didn't run it because she didn't want them to.
So they watched him move up, get the job in New York, get the GM. ESPN, I assume the reporters, editors knew that this guy was a creep. Get the Mets job. I'd be curious. I'll take a look, but how they reported it, knowing eventually this was going to break, knowing eventually this guy was going to set himself on fire and lose the job. He lost the job a month after getting it, and a month before, I assume about a month before reporting to spring training, he's out.
He lasted about as long as GM as I did at the State House.
Oh, is it the same problem? Did you run into the same issue?
Same problem, exactly. Yeah,
yes. ESPN knew about it in 2017, but the woman wouldn't speak until recently, agreeing to because Porter held a greater position of power, and she wanted to prevent the incident from happening again. This is according to the New York Post.
She's out of the business. She's in finance now, so it can't impact retribution. Can't impact her in any way.
Well, she says that she's from. It doesn't disclose her where she's from, but she says she's from a very regressive country where women, and that's why she wanted ESPN to sit on the story originally, because women, she says, in her country who are mixed up in this stuff are blamed regardless of their role.
Well, so. If she had been raped or assaulted by him and ESPN sat on it and he did it again, ESPN would have some explaining to do. This is not near, you know, there's no violence here. But what if he did it again since she shut him down and he moved on? Would ESPN have some responsibility here if they sat on the story and he started doing it again? Which he might have, you know. I mean, there's probably most women who get these kind of unsolicited pics probably don't run to the media, the newspaper, you know, whatever, the ESPN or whatever. They probably just sit on it, ignore it, hope it'll go away, and probably maybe in most cases it does. This guy, I don't know. Do you do this just once to one woman?
It's a habit. People do this all the time, though. People are psychopaths. It happens to me all the time. I'll show you my phone.
Really?
Yeah, guys. They're pigs.
Let me guess. Was it another Bowdoin grad? Someone used to work with?
Maybe. Might be a few decades older. Yeah.
This dude was questioned. They reached out to him last night, and his rebuttal, he's the GM of the Mets, and his response was, those were stock images of his penis, or of a penis. Like,
right.
That makes sense, because I would never, ever send my own, but I would find one online, you know, maybe a more, flattering photo.
Yeah, but you can like kind of from an argument standpoint talk about, hey, I'm texting with this woman. It's progressing to these different points, and then just naturally, I took a dick pic, right? This guy, like, he clearly mentally is saying to himself, like, he had to Google penis, save it to his phone, and then send it to her. There is a deliberate action. It's not like this organic.
That's worse than sending your own. That's unbelievable. Absolutely. That's true.
Do we believe him though, Dave?
Do we believe that's not his?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Dave does, because he played hockey at Thayer. So
I'm back to you. I think guys like this are like, they're just super lonely. And it was the first female that gave him attention. And he's like all in. Whereas like I look back, I didn't have Tinder when I was in the game. And I'm like, that guy's in a position of power. He should be cleaning up on Tinder.
Yeah, I mean, this guy is obviously not getting laid ever, because if you were, you would move on to somebody else. So obviously he's a pathetic loser. He might even still be a virgin for all we know.
And think about it. Even if there were no consequences, and let's be honest, the consequences are devastating. He loses his job, his reputation, everything, his money. Even if there were no consequences, what are you thinking? That this woman, who's probably very attractive and has no interest in you, is going to look at that thing and say, oh yeah, I'm going to respond now. I'm going to get back to him. Whoa. Now. What was it? Oh, he's staying at a nice hotel and boy, he's got an erection and I'm going to get right back to him. This is going to become the, I mean, I assume that in New York, I mean, this is going to be, he's going to be the object of ridicule and derision for months and months. And the Mets by extension are going to be mocked. I mean, it's good because late night comedians, now that Trump's gone, have nothing to joke about. They have nothing to make fun of. So they got the Mets GM, and I assume they can move on to him. But we got to get to the best part of this. And I didn't see it because the Boston Herald baseball writer blocked me because he's such a little puss.
Oh, come on. I like Jason. He's a nice
guy. I've never even met the guy, Alex. It's one thing to block someone who, you know, attacks you on Twitter. I've never even met him. I never said
anything. You're garbage in his timeline. I don't blame him. I'm close to blocking you, too.
He doesn't have to follow me. I mean, he has to block me? That always amazes me.
You block a million people. What are you talking about? You block a million. It's not that big.
I block people who attack me, yes, or call me.
You do?
Yes, of course I do.
When did you turn into a block guy?
Oh, yeah.
When I give them, you know, like 17 chances, and then when they tweet the same thing every day at me, yes, I block them. Or talk about, you know, my family or something. Of course I do.
Oh, I didn't know they're talking about your family.
Trust me, it's not someone that just, oh, he's a liberal, I'll block him. I mean, this guy blocks me. I've never talked to him. I don't think I ever met him. Never had him on the radio. Blocked me. It's kind of like Kevin DuPont at the Globe. Another guy, just a total puss who blocks me, even though I've never said, I don't, maybe I said something about him, but I certainly didn't attack him on Twitter or pester him like every day. That's what I do. When people, I get one or two tweets, I just, you know, blow it off. But if every day they're just, you say, enough, I am done with you. And especially if it's a coordinated thing, you know, you get a group of people to say, let's go at them and threaten them. I'm done with you. Anyway, this guy blocks me. And I didn't know about this till Dave pointed out this morning, but he says the Jared Porter scandal is all Trump's fault. This is real. This is an actual reporter. And by the way, the Herald's laid off like 1,000 people. How have they not got to this loser?
Oh, come on.
Why is he still on the payroll? What good does he do? Has anyone ever bought the Boston Herald, said, I want to read what Jason Mastrano said.
I'll just stop. Nobody buys the Boston Herald, period. Today. I'll just stop so it.
Why are they still paying him? Why don't they
just? Why are they paying anyone then? I mean, you know.
Everybody loves Jason Mastrano.
This tweet is totally correct, by the way.
Let's read it for our listeners. He writes, this is all part of a much larger cultural issue, of course. The Porter incident happened in 2016, the same year the U.S. elected a president who bragged about sexually assaulting women on tape and had at least 24 women accuse him of sexual harassment as of election day. First of all, he didn't brag about sexually assaulting women. That's made up. Okay. Secondly, this is one day, literally one day before he leaves office, and this insane liberal snowflake says, you know what? I'm sure he likes Jared Porter. Maybe, you know, maybe he's got a lot in common with Jared Porter, the former GM.
On. Now, what do you
maybe he's just, he's
you're like, you're a snowflake. Oh, because he blocked you? This maybe, venom?
No, Alex, are you paying attention? He just blamed Donald Trump.
Oh, my God. Poor Donald Trump. I know. I can't believe. And he had the nerve to do it, Jerry, last full day in office.
Here's why Reid likes Mastrano, because the two of them are both insane Trump haters who can't think straight. You were just perfectly level-headed, conversational until Trump's name comes up, and then you just go off the rails.
Well, I'm just saying.
Reimer, just let me ask you this. I'm sure this loser Mastrano met Porter when he was in Boston, probably liked him. Porter sent, as we know, 62 unsolicited messages. Then he sent pictures of his erect penis to a reporter. Another reporter says, I know it's all Trump's fault. You don't see a flaw in that argument anywhere?
You're misreading it totally. He's not supporting or defending Jared Porter or excusing Jared Porter.
Exactly. It's exactly what he's doing. He's blaming Trump and saying it's a larger cultural issue.
Yeah, well, it is. Of course it is. Do you think Jared Porter is the only guy who's ever done this? No, of course not. Men do this to women. Men do this to men, as I was saying, all the time. This is a cultural issue. This is men who don't know what the word no means, and they can't be ignored. And if they want the girl, they'll do whatever it takes to get the girl, even if that means texting them 62 times. Okay, so
no disagreement there. No disagreement. So men that's what he's talking about. Men do this. Like I said, I don't sympathize, empathize. I can't relate. I've never done it. I never will do it. I can't even imagine the thought process where you say, this is going to work. She doesn't really like me, but wait, instead of, you know, flowers, I'm going to send her a picture of my wiener. That to me is insane. That's insane. I can't relate to it no more than I could relate to, as Louis C.K. Louis C.K. said, a priest molesting a child.
Can you relate to what Louis C.K. has done, though, in his life?
No, I cannot. What Louis C.K. has done, I cannot. Like I've said before, the thought of like somebody seeing me or seeing any guy do that to himself is repulsive. There's nothing.
The dick pic isn't even
It's not repulsive to see another guy.
The dick pic is a pathetic part of the story. It's a pathetic move. This reporter, right, had to hide from him at ballparks. So the actual, like, the ramifications of his advances impacted her in a huge way, where she was hiding at, she felt like she had to hide from another man at a ballpark. So the mental aspect of this is the story. Who gives it? The dick pic is the same thing as just continuing the advancements via text. It's just you're an asshole because you sent a dick.
But you think that, I mean, I could see, I don't know what his other text said, but if they said, you know, you're beautiful, I'll treat you right, you know, I'll take you out today, you could say, okay, he thinks he's persuading her, but how do you think it's persuading her to show your erect wiener? It just almost, I can't grasp it. But so ESPN knew about it. This woman probably told other people about it, but the Mets couldn't find this out before hiring him. This is embarrassing for the New York Mets. And I know that's not the headline. That's not the headline. But the fact that this guy was doing this and people knew about it, and people knew about it at ESPN. Reporters, hell, Buster Olney knew about it, or I don't know who else is. Tim Kurkjian.
This is the great Jeff Passan.
Jeff Passan knew about it. Tim Kurkjian knew about it, but the Mets ownership did not, or you know, the Mets whatever search team they had looking for a GM couldn't find this out. It's amazing, and the fact that a reporter is blaming Trump, it's Trump's fault. That is pathetic, Reamer. You can blame, like I said. You can hate Trump, and you do, and you could stick to the facts, and there's plenty there to hate. You don't have to make stuff up. You know, making stuff up that this pervert in the Mets front office is somehow being influenced by the president is absurd.
No, but he's talking about how it's our culture, the fact that you can elect someone president who's been accused of sexual harassment dozens of times.
Oh, just have you ever heard the name William Jefferson Clinton? Are you aware of that guy?
Exactly, right.
He was a two-term president. And credibly accused of rape, sexual assault by many, many women. So do you think he should be blamed too? Because I don't. I'm not blaming Bill Clinton, though. I am.
Yeah, I'm
so
saying
you're blaming Bill Clinton for Jared Porter.
No, but I'm blaming the culture, and Bill Clinton represents our culture about how men can basically do whatever they want to women and get excused for it and don't get in trouble until recently.
Well,
that's
kind of out the window. He's in trouble now. And you know who I'm going to give the credit to? Donald Trump. Since the president is law, he tweeted Law and Order a lot. Hang on, hold that thought. I got to talk about our new sponsor, govx.com. That's govx.com. As we all know, uniformed professionals sign up to serve causes greater than themselves. If you've ever served in the military, law enforcement, firefighting, or frontline medical communities, you are eligible for free membership in GovX.com, the greatest online shopping site for Americans of service like you. Your job demands a lot from you, from deployments to long shifts and the dangerous situations most people don't have the courage to face. There's a reason why GovX believes service-minded patriots like you deserve special recognition. GovX.com delivers the deals on all the gear you need for your on- and off-duty life. Register at GovX for instant access to discounts on epic brands like Oakley, Yeti, Garmin, Vortex Optics, Benchmade, Danner, and more. The site was built exclusively for the men and women who serve our country and communities. That's why every month GovX supports nonprofits serving the military, first responder, or law enforcement communities. We don't just thank you for your service, we honor it. Signing up is fast and easy and totally free. Become a member today and use code Callahan for $15 off your first order of $50 or more. GovX.com, savings for those who serve.
Yeah, we talk hoops on Robert Horry's new podcast, The Big Shot Bob Pod.
I would have loved to play with LeBron because if you get down, get open, get to where you're supposed to be, he's going to find you. Feel like he got robbed for MVP.
But with Robert Horry, we cover the floor and we talk about everything. And so your youngest is a teenager.
So he's not going to high school right now. He's doing everything via Zoom. And his dad, can you help me? Nope, I'm running away. I'm running.
From the team that brought you The Big Podcast with Shaq, it's The Big Shot Bob Pod. Subscribe now and get new episodes every week on the Podcast One app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, livebylive.com, and everywhere you get your favorite podcasts.
Do you think that Donald Trump will pardon Ghislaine Maxwell today?
Yes or not. I'm predicted last night. He will pardon Julian Assange because Tucker Carlson did a great monologue on this, very persuasive monologue. Convinced, and then he had Pamela Anderson, who's Julian Assange's biggest advocate fan, and she still looks good, man. But he had Pamela Anderson, but Tucker made a great case for Julian Assange, and I believe Trump watches Tucker and listens to Tucker. So I think he's going to pardon Julian Assange. He'll probably do Assange and not Snowden and think it's a compromise, but he's reportedly going to pardon Lil Wayne. He's going to pardon Lil Wayne.
Big Trump supporter, Lil Wayne.
But he's not in prison, right? I mean, pardon people who are out of prison just to pardon them is okay, I guess. But
well, that's why he's going to pardon the Tiger King today, which is borderline, which has all been confirmed last night by Tiger King's attorney.
That can't happen. And I'm waiting for people, clowns like Jason Mastronato. So this is outrageous. He pardoned, Assange, or he pardoned whoever, Lil Wayne. Barack Obama pardoned almost 2,000 criminals. 2,000. Bill Clinton pardoned a terrorist. Susan Rosenberg, who's now in the front office of Black Lives Matter, a terrorist who bombed the front office federal in New York buildings.
But she's not in the front office in New York Mets.
No, that would be okay. This is
Trump, though, the overwhelming majority of people who he's pardoned have personal ties to him,
right? So, well, have you ever heard of Mark Rich, this criminal?
I've read a lot about
every Trump. You want to play whataboutism, Trump's not in Obama's league when it comes to pardoning lowlife.
So Obama pardoned his campaign manager, his national security advisor, everybody, his deputy campaign manager, all these people who went to prison.
We can go over the 2,000 Obama pardons, but I'm going to guess there's some pretty bad people there, Reamer. It's the law. He can pardon whoever he wants. The interesting thing will be if he pardons himself or his family or, just as a preemptive strike. But I look forward to the impeachment trial because it's a mistake. It's stupid. If you're Biden, you say, let's not do this. We have to move on. I mean, it'll dominate the first 100 days. If Trump's on trial and the Senate split 50-50, and now granted, he'll probably get convicted because you got weasels like Mitt Romney still there. But that will dominate the news in Biden's first 100 days. Is that what you want?
I can't believe you're still like defending Trump. I mean, the ship has left the dock here, Jerry. I mean,
I agree. Last man standing. We got 1 day left. I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to do today. He's reportedly going to fly out 8 a.m. to head to Palm Beach and tee it up tomorrow.
Have you been invited? Each attendee can bring 5 guests to this event. So
to what event? The actual inauguration?
No. The send off
for Trump at the when he flies away. No, I've not been invited. I don't think I wouldn't go to D.C. for anything because it must be so frustrating that you can't go anywhere. You can't walk on the national mall's closed. Streets are blocked. Fences everywhere. Democrats decided fences and walls work. At least this week they work.
Because they're actually trying to keep out terrorists.
Right. Terrorists. You mean National Guardsmen who voted for Trump? Gotcha.
I mean terrorists storming the Capitol. That's why the National Guardsmen are there.
I want to get to Tom Brady in the conference championships. You had an interesting, you had a good column at Forbes.com.
Thank you, Jerry. I liked
your column. It was a good point. It was you put it all in one column, all the people he's outlasted, and it's just mind-boggling. We talked about this a little yesterday. We'll get to Trump. You want to do Brady, or you want to do the inauguration? You pick.
Ooh, I mean, I remember where I was 4 years ago during Trump's inauguration.
I remember where I was too. I was there. I was in D.C.
At the inauguration?
Yes, yes. My daughter lived there, so we.
Right.
And I just thought it was awesome to walk around. I'd never been to an inauguration, and I love D.C. I love walking around, and it wasn't under martial law then the way it is now. Antifa was running wild. They were smashing buildings, glass. They torched a limo right in front of the Trump Hotel, and we saw it. And they surrounded, I don't know if they surrounded, but the front of the Trump Hotel was just lined with Antifa scum yelling at everybody that went in there. It was complete lawlessness in D.C. But again, it's okay because Trump is a bad guy. Biden's a good guy. So the good guy needs 26,000 National Guard troops, which is utter insanity. And I say this all the time, Raymer, I don't want to say you're an independent thinker. You're a lemming like most liberals, like Jason Mastrinato, your buddy, and all the rest. But you do occasionally have an independent thought. And you're not a militaristic guy. You must find this completely insane, this idea of 26,000 National Guard troops, who, by the way, flew in from every state, flew in from Alaska and Hawaii to protect the inauguration when the, I think it's the Department of Justice or the Homeland Security said, there are no credible threats as of this moment. It is all for show. They have National Guard people walking around the city with guns with no ammo, no magazines. I mean, it's all for show to send a message to the world or to the country that we are we're fighting white supremacists, homegrown terrorists, and this is an appropriate response. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's the first big lie of the Biden administration.
What's a lie?
That there is some great threat to Biden that requires 26,000 troops.
Did you see what happened at the Capitol 2 weeks ago?
Yes, I saw them open the door and let all those morons in. Yes, I saw it. Have you seen the latest video where they show where Viking Man actually enters the Senate chambers?
I know, and the guy's like giving him a tour.
The guy, that's not an insurrection, Alex, as much as you would like it to be. That's a bunch of morons who were allowed in. The appropriate response to that is arrest them, charge them with trespassing. I guess, some of them will go to prison for whatever, vandalism. Someone stole Nancy Pelosi's laptop, allegedly was going to sell it to the Russians. I don't believe that, but whatever. Punish them all. I don't care. They're all a bunch of losers and thugs and vandals who did more damage to Trump's brand than anyone in 4 years. But those people aren't going to take over the Capitol today. They're not going to kill Congress people, and they're not going to try to bring down Biden.
They're talking like they are. I mean, they're doing it on Parler. Parler.
Oh yeah, let's blame Parler.
I'm blaming Parler. Yeah, I'm blaming.
I'm pretty sure
Even Joe Scarborough went off yesterday about how this is primarily a Facebook problem and how the algorithm works to.
Right. Of course it's. I mean, a third of Facebook's most popular stories between Election Day and the insurrection, Jerry, at the Capitol was stories about election fraud and everything else. But here's my question to you. If we had a situation where a bunch of Muslim extremists stormed the Capitol 2 weeks ago and killed five people and five people died when all was said and done, don't you think we would have this robust National Guard presence like we do this week?
No.
You don't think we would?
Yes. But you know what? We'd give them bullets. How's that?
Right. Well, it'd be even more. So I'm just saying that, look, five people died when people stormed the Capitol.
Right. One was an unarmed woman shot by a cop. And can you imagine if that was an unarmed black woman at a BLM or Antifa protest shot by a cop? We would all know her name and his name. We don't even know the cop yet who shot her. She was unarmed.
Well, she also was committing a crime.
Okay. Trespassing is a crime. I agree. Do you think it should be punishable by death?
No, I don't. But I have to see. As I always say in these situations, Jerry, with the cops, I got to see the tape first.
If that were an unarmed, not a MAGA protester, but a BLM protester, it would be the biggest story 24/7. We would know everything about her and him, and we would be demanding he be taken away in leg irons and sent to the death row. But anyway, Anyway, this is all for show. It's outrageous. Biden and his crew are using the military. They're using the National Guard. And it's all following this new narrative that the greatest threat we're facing are these homegrown white supremacists. By the way, the siege on the Capitol, whatever you want to call it, the rioting, the vandalism at the Capitol had nothing to do with race. That's just a made-up thing.
They were just all white.
Actually, they weren't. The John Sullivan, the Antifa guy, who was right next to Ashley Babbitt when she was killed, is black, and he's an Antifa guy who's been at all kinds of rallies. He's an agitator. But anyway.
So you, anyway, you think this was Antifa?
Well, I just told you that an Antifa guy was there.
One guy, maybe. I mean, oh, but how, so about,
one.
How about all these Trump flags? So they all decked themselves out in MAGA hats.
No, I didn't say that. I don't believe that. But you just said, others said there were no Antifa, and there was. So, I mean, which is it? Yes or no?
Maybe he's a traitor.
Antifa guys. And he was right next to her, and he's arrested. I believe he's facing charges. It's the first time an Antifa guy's ever actually faced charges, which is good. But this is so outrageous, what we're talking about, Reamer. Even you have to understand how insane this is. We have all kinds of media people saying this is the greatest threat. We must deprogram these Trump MAGA, you know, morons, because they're all like a cult and they're all coming to get us and they're all armed and we're facing an insurrection. But a congressperson, and I've gone over my own congressperson, she's insane, Ayanna Pressley, says there are white supremacists in the Congress and they were helping the MAGA rioters. She won't name any names. Of course, no one will press her on it because, you know, she's a good liberal. But this guy, Steve Cohen, and he's as creepy as they come. He's a hardcore lefty from Tennessee.
I know Steve Cohen, he's
one of these guys who's bald with the hair growing in the back.
Good luck. Yeah, Tom.
He's the one that brought fried chicken onto the floor of the
and
was eating it, saying that Trump was chicken. He was afraid of something, so he was eating fried chicken. It was a ridiculous stunt. He goes on with Jim Sciutto, former Obama subordinate, who hardcore lefty on CNN, and says that they must vet the National Guard, thoroughly vet them, because many of them are white males. And he didn't say that he knew they voted for Trump. He just did he looked at the percentages and said a large percentage of them probably voted for Trump, which means 75% of the National Guardsmen there in D.C. might do something, meaning like try to kill the next president. It's totally insane. And I realize it's big on right-wing cable and on right-wing radio and Twitter, but no one bats an eye. It's like, yeah, a congressperson just said, you got to really look into these National Guard types because they're white and male, which means they might try to like murder someone. It's just, we've reached that point where it's okay to stereotype, generalize, and presume that they're going to
be totally
violent, you know, revolutionaries because they're white and they're male.
Well, no, I mean, but if they supported Trump and voted for Trump, and that means there's a good chance they think that this election was stolen and that Joe Biden is an illegitimate president. And as a result, you know, they feel like their country's been, again, stolen from them. So, if you think Joe Biden's an illegitimate president, a shot at him? I mean, sure. You know, he's an illegitimate president. Aren't you protecting
him?
Well, I mean, Jerry, these people think that the election.
You thought Donald Trump was illegitimate. You said it for years. You bought the Russian hoax. And you know what I said, Alex? It doesn't matter. My friend Alex would never do anything.
Yeah, but I'm a dove. I'm a dove.
Never, ever.
I can't even lift up a gun, probably. Never mind shoot.
Well, these guys are probably glad the guns weigh less because they took all the bullets from them because, you know, they're white males. Wow. And the guy says, can we play Cohen? Because he says it so matter-of-factly with Jim Sciutto that it's mind-boggling. This is how people think.
90-some-odd percent, I believe, male. Only about 20% of white males voted for Biden. You got to figure that in the Guard, which is predominantly more conservative, and I see that on my social media and we know it, they're probably not more than 25% of the people that are there protecting us who voted for Biden. The other 75% are in the class that would be the large class of folks who might want to do something.
That's incredible. I got news for you, Alex. The commander-in-chief, that's Joe Biden tomorrow. He's the commander-in-chief. That means he's the head of the military. He's going to be around military people a lot. I mean, he's going to probably hide away in the Oval Office most of the time. but he's going to be around the military. He's going to be around cops. Secret Service are sworn to protect him. I'll bet you lots of Secret Service are white males who didn't vote for him. Are we supposed to take their guns away too?
I think if you have anybody within the vicinity of the president who thinks that he's an illegitimate president, yeah, you have to be concerned about that.
That's not what he said. He said they voted. They didn't vote for him.
So, well, right. Because, Jerry, something like 70-some-odd percent of Republicans believe that Joe Biden is an illegitimate president. They think that there was massive election fraud. I think it's 73%. So 3/4 of Trump voters think there was a massive election fraud, as you do. If you were a Secret Service agent, I would be careful about letting you around Joe Biden. I'm going to be honest.
You have lost it, Reamer. You've lost it. Either that or you're just messing with me. You are just messing with me.
Why? Because
these people, this is insane. The Secret Service and the cops and the military have always been more conservative than liberal.
Right. But this is beyond being conservative. This is thinking again that the election.
We just spent 4 years talking about how Trump stole the election with the help of Russia. And that a-hole there, Jim Sciutto, was one of the leading conspiracy theorists. We just forget that? Does that just go down a memory hole and we say, oh, this is the first time anyone's ever questioned the election?
Here's the difference, Jerry. There was proof that Trump was tied to Russia. That's the difference.
There was never any proof. It was totally made up, and people actually
went to prison, from Paul Manafort to Michael Flynn. Well, they didn't go to prison, but
right, there's people being arrested left and right, for election fraud.
Who? I don't know anybody.
A woman just got arrested in Texas last week. I mean, another guy did. A judge in Philadelphia. Whatever. Well, I'm moving on from that. Don't get.
Well, I'm just saying. What I think this is, it's perfectly legitimate.
Hey, this is insane, Alex. This
Why?
Is insane. Because you think a member of the Secret Service or the military, because he voted for Trump, is a danger and shouldn't be around Biden. So what's your proposal? That only liberals protect the president? No.
My proposal is people protect the – if you think that Joe Biden is a legitimate president, then that's fine. But if you think Joe Biden stole this election in Dominion, in China, in Venezuela, we're changing votes, he's part of this massive conspiracy, QAnon, if you believe in this stuff, then yeah, you are a national security threat.
You want them vetted. This slime ball, Cohen, wants them vetted. So you have National Guards, and again, there are 26,000 of them, and the ones going to be near the president, he wants them vetted. And the question would be, did you vote for the president? And if you say, did you vote for Biden? And you say, no. Okay, you can go over there and protect the Jefferson Memorial. The person who here has to be one of Biden's supporters.
No.
That's so insane. But anyway.
No, it's do you think that Joe Biden is a real president? And if
that's a question you want to ask the people guarding him.
Yes. And if you say no, this election was stolen,
the next step might be, I'm going to kill him.
The question is, what are you going to do about it? You know, they want to take justice into their own hands. They believe they're fighting for freedom. Anybody who's affiliated with QAnon is a national security.
No one's affiliated with QAnon. You make that up every time you come on. No one is.
Lauren Boebert.
It's like saying the Klan. The Klan. Don Lemon says, if you voted for Trump, you support the Klan. The Klan? What is the Klan? There's like 12 Klansmen left in America. They don't have any presence. They're not a threat. I mean, the only Klansmen I know would be Ralph Northam, and I guess you'd say Robert Byrd, but he's dead. So they're not really a threat. You know, Antifa's a threat. There's millions of them. The Klan? It's just made up nonsense by people like this Steve Cohen, the rules have changed. Now, if you're going to be in the Secret Service or even the National Guard and you didn't vote for the president, you know, you don't have to come down here and take your toy gun and pretend you're part of the security forces. It's just insane.
But why are you being so obstinate? I mean, you can't understand that there's a difference.
Let's go back. I like when Reamer makes sense. Let's go back to talking about dick pics because, you know.
Okay, that's an area in which I am an expert. So,
hey, before we move on from the inauguration, I have to say, Garth Brooks is a snake.
And oh, absolutely. Why do you hate Garth Brooks?
I'm trying to wake Cullinane up here. He's out of a nap over there. Maybe he's looking at video of Jared Porter at Trader. Did he have game or what?
I'm mostly disappointed that it's actually not Jared Porter's wiener. That's just a Getty image of a penis, actually.
How can you tell?
I don't. That's according to him. He's the one who said it. So,
but wouldn't you pick a really impressive wiener if you're going to send it to a girl?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I just Google Ron Jeremy's penis and see, and send it along. Why not?
Oh God, no! The inaugural. I'm going to do my best to not watch and not listen to these people, like these Hollywood frauds that are all participating in the inauguration, and Lady Gaga and Bruce Springsteen and Bon Jovi.
Don't put Garth Brooks in the same category as those guys.
Garth Brooks. And he says he's going to be the only Republican there. He's just trying to not lose, you know, his base. His fans are probably mostly Republican. I mean, he's Garth bleeping Brooks. He's going to play at the inauguration. He says it's all about unity. Well, can we stop with this unity nonsense? No one wants unity. No one believes unity. I mean, I love the take from the Biden people. It's time for these white supremacist Nazi murdering scum to unify. Come on, let's all get together and unify. Please, they have no interest in unity. Neither does Garth Brooks. He's a closet liberal. He just wants to schmooze with, you know, Lady Gaga.
He said he's played. He said he's played for every president. You know that, that
except
who didn't he play?
Turned down Donald Trump 4 years ago. Said can't do it. Can't do it.
Scheduling conflict. Don't demean Garth Brooks.
The disses just keep on coming for DJ.
Kid Rock won't be there. I can promise you that. Kid Rock is like. Kid Rock and Ted Nugent are all Trump has left.
who did he give the award to last week? The Medal of Freedom.
Ricky Skaggs and Toby Keith.
Toby Keith, right, right, yeah,
which
yeah.
was great. That's good. You're right. He's got Ricky Skaggs and Toby Keith and Nick and Kid Rock.
Did you see this new thing he wants to build with the statues of
Are you going to remain obsessed with Trump even after he's gone? You are, aren't you? Be honest.
No, I'm moving on. Yeah, I'm ready for
you are, and so is Mika and Joe and Jim Acosta and you know Don Lemon. They're going to remain obsessed. They're going to sit there and say, whatever, you know, somebody dies and Trump doesn't go to the funeral. Somebody, Trump, what a disgrace. He molested women. And there'll be some pervert in the Red Sox front office who gets in trouble. And Jason Mastronato will say, it's all Trump's fault. He admitted he sexually homes. I mean, you people will never get over him. You are going to miss
Matthew Garden. He's going to put William F. Buckley, Barry Goldwater, Christopher Columbus, Harriet Tubman, Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Oh, that's right. And didn't he say Kobe Bryant, but not? And someone was mad at him because he didn't include John Lewis. He included Kobe Bryant, but not John Lewis. And why would he ever include John Lewis? John Lewis hated him. I realize.
Sitting Bull. That's a good.
Sitting Bull. Is that right? You will miss Trump much more than I will because you're obsessed with him and you won't have anyone to hate like you've hated this guy. You won't have anyone to blame things on, random things that happened, you know, that baseball executives did in 2016. You won't be able to blame Trump for that. You people are not going to be able to quit him. You are not. It's going to be kind of fun to watch because also your guy is so pathetic and feeble. You'll sit there and every time someone criticizes Biden for anything, you'll say, what about Trump? What about Trump?
Exactly. I'm just happy that, listen, 100 masks, 100 days, what's it? Oh, 100 days of mask wearing and the pandemic will be over. So exactly. I'm very excited about that.
If we all wear masks for the next 100 days, we'll save 50,000 lives.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Just totally made up out of thin air. Everyone's wearing masks. Everyone. They're all wearing masks already. And by the way, the people who aren't, are not going to take Joe Biden's suggestion and say, oh, now that Joe Biden told me to, I think I'll wear a mask. Aubrey Huff is not going to suddenly start wearing a mask because Biden told him to.
That is the surprise of the month, that Aubrey Huff was not in this Capitol riot a couple weeks ago.
I know, and I love the idea. There's no liberals left. We say it all the time. Glenn Greenwald and Matt Taibbi, the only liberals left.
I like Matt Taibbi.
People who went to the speech that Trump gave and that went nowhere near the Capitol have lost their jobs, have lost their recording contracts, have lost their book contracts. I mean, the authoritarian left is a frightening thing, and it's going to get worse and worse. And we'll be talking about it as long as we can. we'll be canceled eventually because they're going to get to all of us. They just started with Trump, but they're going to get to all of us. It's going to get frightening. And someday, even my friend Alex Rima will come around.
Well, I've been canceled many times. You have to start your OnlyFans, Jerry, at one point, I guess.
OnlyFans. No, you're a Substacker like Greenwald and Taibbi, I believe. You're the big stars on Substack. And you're making some dough, right? You're making some money.
I'm making a little money. Yeah, a little money. I'm not going to disclose how much. But yeah, please donate. Reamer.substack.com.
Never stops hustling. You wrote for Forbes. I want to get to your Tom Brady.
Thank you.
Column on Forbes after I tell you about what do I have to do here, Colin?
Shea Concrete.
Shea Concrete. I'm going to tell you about what Shea can do for you this winter. Other companies can't do this because they do this outside. Shea does it inside. They can build you a building, a precast concrete building. They partner with Easy Set Worldwide and they manufacture precast concrete buildings for multiple applications in a variety of sizes. Shea's been manufacturing precast buildings for over 17 years, and no one does it better. Precast concrete buildings provide the most durable and long-lasting option compared to other modular building applications such as metal, wood, masonry. Shea Concrete manufactures, delivers, and installs these engineered precast concrete buildings as a true turnkey provider from initial handshake through the final installation support. With a focus on cost efficiency and quality control, each of their precast concrete buildings are pre-assembled at their factory and typically delivered and installed in one piece by their experts. You know what makes them better than other buildings? They can build them in the worst of weather because they do it indoors. That's unlike other, you know, wood, metal. They do it indoors, in their big plants. They build your building. This increases productivity, lowers cost, and gives the customer a legitimate time frame of when the building will be placed on site. To learn more, simply go to SheaConcrete.com or call them up and ask for Frank or Mike. These are the experts in these buildings. They'll tell you what you need. They can tell you what sizes they can build. It's the answer. You need a building? Go for a precast concrete building. Call them today. Or just log on to SheaConcrete.com. Learn all about their precast buildings. All right, Alex Rima on Forbes wrote about it. He wrote about all the people. And it's amazing when you think about it, when you put it all in perspective. That Brady has outlasted. Here's the amazing thing. On Sunday, and I said this yesterday, watching Breeze Brady, what Breeze did is what you do when you're done. You know, when you're 42. That's what, hell, Roethlisberger did this at the end too. I mean, he just looked old and there's nothing wrong with that. You're supposed to look old when you're, well, Roethlisberger's case, when you're out of shape, but in Breeze's case, when you're 42, you're supposed to have trouble throwing the deep ball. You're supposed to lose a little bit of your accuracy. You're supposed to throw a pick when normally you wouldn't throw a pick. And the guy who's older than anyone shows no signs of age, of wear and tear. And at the end of the game, he gave his guy, Alex Guerrero, a big hug. And I'm watching, I'm thinking, once again, I'm thinking, why aren't guys trying to be like Brady? They just, you know, Eli Manning's already retired. I think he came into the league, what, 4 years after Brady?
Oh, five was his rookie year, I think, right?
5 years after Brady.
Four maybe? And, yeah, something.
And I point out, like, guys, Donovan McNabb is 9 months older than Brady. He's been retired for 9 years.
It's crazy.
I mean, quarterback.
I mean, this is being billed Brady Rodgers, two of the all-time great, as it should be. But as I wrote, Tom Brady was already a surefire Hall of Famer before Aaron Rodgers even took a snap in the NFL. I mean, that's
amazing. Brady's had, and a number of people have written this, he's had three Hall of Fame careers, you know?
Yeah.
Three stretches that if they were isolated, if that were all he did, he'd be a Hall of Famer. And next year, I mean, no one's even talking about retirement. He's not. He's going on to the NFC title game, his 14th conference championship, 14th conference championship game. That is just, I mean, you don't even have the words to describe how amazing that is. In 20 years, or I guess 19 years, is it? Or 20 years?
It's amazing, though, from Peyton Manning to Drew Brees. You mentioned he's going to outlast Roethlisberger. He's going to outlast Philip Rivers, who will probably retire this year as well. He's going to already outlasted Eli, as you mentioned. But Jerry, he's going to even outlast Cam Newton as a starting quarterback, who was drafted in 2011.
Cam Newton, who's what, 12 years younger than him?
Yeah. I mean, he outlasted both Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck. I mean, it's just...
We know, obviously, he's the greatest of all time. That debate ended a long time ago. And he's, you know, he would be in the same breath you'd mentioned, you know, Michael Jordan, Babe Ruth, I don't know, Wayne Gretzky. But he's those guys as a player, but also this freak that just can't, that's doing it. He's Julio Franco. He's Babe Ruth and Julio Franco in one. How about that? Has anyone ever made that?
That's a good comparison. That could be a first Substack.
And just the idea that he's doing it. And today there's a column in the Palm Beach Post. Is it the Palm Beach Post? Yes, the Palm Beach Post by a guy named Douglas McKinnon, who's I think is not even a sports writer.
He's a former speech writer for Reagan and Bush.
Yes, I've seen him on TV, former White House official and Pentagon official and speech writer, who has a column on Brady should be the MVP this season. When you consider the impact, I mean, Rodgers, what were the Packers last year?
13-3.
Yeah, so how much of an improvement did they make this year? With the
Rodgers, 50 touchdowns this year.
I know, he's going to win. He's going to win it going away. And Mahomes is second and Josh Allen's third. But when you talk about sheer impact and value, Brady went from, they went from, what were the Bucks last year, 7-9?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And then they go
11-5.
They go 11-5, win two playoff games, head to the NFC Championship game. Realize that doesn't come into the case when you're talking about MVP, but who had a bigger impact on their team than the 43-and-a-half-year-old?
Well, all you need to know is, too, that when Brady in 08 got hurt, the Patriots were five games worse than they were with him in 07, right? This year, the Patriots were also five games worse without Brady.
And they make that. You hear people who would make the Belichick argument when you'd have the Brady Belichick debate that say, "Yeah, but he won 11 games with Matt Castle." Well, Tom Brady
won
16-0 with that team. You know, the year before, same cast, Brady went 16-0. He ended up going 18-1 with that same team that Matt Castle went 11-5 with. So there was a 5-game drop off. Under Belichick with a different quarterback. So, I mean, I think obviously the Belichick-Brady debate has ended, but a very interesting twist yesterday when Bruce Arians was asked about the difference in Brady with the Bucs as opposed to Brady with the Patriots last year. And Arians, is this on tape anywhere, Cullinan, or is this just an answer that he gave when asked?
I would have thought Peter King would have taped it, but he didn't. It was in the in his Monday morning quarterback call.
Oh, so Peter King in his Monday morning quarterback, Peter King, who hates Trump almost as much as Reamer does, but I'm sure he's very happy today. Trump will be leaving town. We'll have much more decency and civility and unity now that Trump's gone. Anyway,
right?
He tells Peter King that he lets Brady coach. He says, New England didn't let him coach. I let him coach. That's remarkably candid from a coach, but it's true. And I believe it. I mean, Brady's, whatever, calling his own plays, doing what he wants. When Antonio Brown needed, what, three catches to hit a $250,000 bonus, he gave him three jet sweeps it's not really a pass, but it is a pass. Toss it forward. He got his buddy $250,000. And let's be honest, you know, couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Just so good to see
him and Elm. Too bad Tyreek Hill didn't get some of that bonus. Right.
So we get to see both. We get to see Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt, Antonio Brown. We get to see some real quality individuals this weekend. But are you picking against Tom Brady this weekend? He's an underdog. What's the latest? 4.5 points. We'll get the latest line. It feels like, I mean, he might not win, but I'm certainly not rooting or pulling or betting against him.
No, I'm not either. Nope.
He likes the idea of going into Green Bay and it's 20 degrees and it's, you know, frozen tundra. And
yeah, I'm not sure how much like his teammates like it. I'd like to see Mike Evans in 20 degree weather. Right. I don't know.
I'm sure they dread it. I would dread it. A normal person would dread it. But Brady probably likes the whole idea, the theater of it all. God knows he was a damn good cold weather player, wore his little scuba suit under his uniform. And it's just an incredible feat that he's there. We're watching Brady Rogers when most guys Brady's age have been retired for 5, 6, 7 years.
It's crazy. And the other thing is, too, he's never hurt. You even notice it this past weekend. Lamar Jackson gets a concussion, leaves this game. Patrick Mahomes concussed, leaves this game. Jared Goff has the busted thumb he's playing with. Right. I mean, Tom Brady is, never mind, still great at 43. He's never hurt.
He never, and you see Josh Allen, who I love to watch him play, but he gets hit every game. He gets popped. And you're like, oh, is he banged up? Is he going to limp? Is he going to be okay? Brady never even gets hit occasionally, you know, but very rarely.
What I was going to say to you yesterday, Jerry, when you were talking about other players and the TB12 and they should take his advice, it's like, isn't he just the smartest quarterback because he's not getting the shit kicked out of him and he makes the smartest decision?
You know, Manning rarely got hit because he got rid of it so quick and he was very smart also. But Manning ended up, and how long has that been? 5 years Manning's been gone?
Yeah.
And they were contemporaries, and obviously they were, I think they're the two best quarterbacks ever. But it ended for Manning the way it ends for all of them. He was banged up. He couldn't throw the deep ball. He couldn't throw the deep out. You know, he had a shoulder problem. He was probably shot up before the game and just struggled to heal. That's how it works when you're 40, 41, 42. And Breeze had 11 cracked ribs, which didn't help. And I think Breeze is done now. Do we believe he's going to retire? Jay Clager said he's done. That's what's supposed to happen. He's an all-time great. He's a top five quarterback ever, but he's done. I mean, Brady always said he wanted to play till he's 45, and I'd said that's pushing it. I used to say he'll be good for a while, maybe 43, 44. No way he's going to be 45. I've changed my mind, okay? He's going to be 45. He's going to be playing.
With another team.
No, he loves it there. Don't you think he loves it there? I mean, he gets to coach his own team. He gets to pick his own players. He
gets to live next to Jared and Ivanka soon.
He's got, well, in the offseason, I think he'll move across the state and be in that Miami, that exclusive Miami neighborhood. He's got his new $2 million boat. But he said he'll never live in the Northeast again, which upset some of the Thornton Nation didn't like that he doesn't ever want to come back here and live here in the winter.
Do they? What's their view on Brady now? Are they rooting for him? Do they like Belichick? What's the Thornton?
Mike Reese has a piece on. It's mixed. He has a piece on ESPN today on how New England is mixed. Some people can't stand to watch him win. I don't think they don't dislike him. They're just jealous. They're just bitter. That it is amazing. And I say this all the time. And I admit I didn't think it was crazy at the time. But Belichick just let him walk. Didn't get anything. Just let him walk. The greatest.
Wasn't Boston the number three market in the ratings? I think I saw that.
Providence was. Providence. And Boston was top five, but Providence was like two or three. It was ahead of New Orleans for the game, for the rating in Boston. I mean, in Providence for the Bucks Saints. But Bucks, I've said this every day, and I'll say it again, Reamer. The virus couldn't stop the NFL. We have two incredible conference championship games that everyone's going to watch. I mean, don't you think the Green Bay, I mean, you're a TV media critic guy. Green Bay Tampa is going to be like the highest rating ever, isn't it?
I don't know. I mean, I think the people don't watch TV as much as they used to, but
I know.
Yeah.
You know, if we grade it on a curve.
Yeah, of course. I mean, how could it not be? Brady Rogers is just such a great game, and we need Pat Mahomes in there too. Concussion or no concussion, let's go. Rub him up. Let's go.
I'm rooting for the Bills, but I love watching Mahomes play, and it's just going to feel like something's missing, man. If it's Chad Henne, I'm all for cheating the system. You know, whatever it takes, pay off that independent neurologist. You know, give him a nice whatever. Give him an autograph. Give him an autographed jersey. Whatever it takes, I'm with you. Mahomes has to play. It's too important to say, you know, we're going to wait and evaluate him later. Got to get him out there. But I would love to see the Bills go into KC and win. Bills-Bucks Super Bowl would be awesome. But you know what? So would Chiefs-Bucks. So would Chiefs-Packers.
Brady and Josh Allen in the Super Bowl would be so strange.
When I mean, it's just – or Mahomes or Rodgers, they can't. The NFL cannot lose, while baseball is reeling yet again because one of the general managers, one of 30 general managers, was sending pictures of his wieners to reporters. Not
this is good for baseball, I think.
You think?
Why? Well, like, finally people are talking about him.
Yeah, that's true. People say, you never talk about baseball. Oh, yeah, we did today. Reamer and I talked lots of baseball today.
Lots of balls, that's for sure.
Yes, and will we actually see? We won't see her, will we? We won't learn like her identity, or will we?
Oh, unless she reveals herself, but otherwise, I don't think she's staying anonymous. Yeah,
and we'll never see those pictures, will we?
I could work my sources.
Are you going to be writing about this? God knows, Reamer is writing for everybody. Maybe.
We'll see. We'll see.
This is 2016, right? So it was 5 years ago. A lot has probably changed. I mean, in his life. So I'm assuming that there's going to be more reporting. You don't know, more women. You don't know what his maybe his family life now that we don't know about. I mean, this could be a shitstorm.
Not usually something you do once, right? Just once, yeah. And not do it again. Kind of like, Louis C.K. or, you name it. Roger Ailes, all the perverts. Roger Ailes is a little bit worse than a pervert. He's a monster. He was. And maybe Trump, before he goes, well, he doesn't have Twitter anymore, but maybe he'll go on Gab and say, don't we all miss Roger Ailes? See, that's what I never understand, that liberals want to take him off Twitter. I tweeted about these alleged, envelope pushing comedians, these edgy comedians, Chelsea Handler and Sacha Baron Cohen, who are begging social big tech to take him off all forms of social media. When he tweets, don't we all miss Roger Ailes? Is that good for Trump? Is that good for Trumpism? That's terrible, right? He sounded like a fool on Twitter a lot, not every time, but a lot, right?
Yeah, but it's how he riles up his base.
But wouldn't you want him on there if he makes a fool of himself?
It doesn't feel like anything he tweeted ever had a real substantial impact.
Yes, it did. We saw what happened 2 weeks ago. That's
because Trump tweeted
explanation of this. What?
That's because Trump tweeted all those morons that went in the Capitol.
Yeah, months and months and years, really, of this election is rigged. This is stolen, deep state. Yep, okay, it all built up to what we saw.
Right, Reamer, you hate him. You're on record. You hate him as much as anyone. I'll give you a choice right now. Retired Trump, like after he leaves in the chopper tomorrow, you want him on Twitter or not? You pick.
Honestly, not. I think it's tedious. I'm bored by the Trump thing.
I think it would be wild to see him tweeting in retirement, because he'd get even crazier and he'd be lashing out. And I mean, he had 89 million followers just like that. Boom, gone. If he gets on Parler, He changes the whole platform. People join just to follow him because he's going to be nuts. He's going to be nuts. And
I never followed him. I have strength.
Yeah, no one ever retweeted him, right?
No one ever did. I was a blackout.
I mean, don't you want to follow what he – I mean, what if he's totally self-destructive and insane and unhinged in retirement? You don't want to see that?
He was like that as president. I've seen it.
Well, he's got 27 hours left. 27 hours left in the reign of Donald John Trump. It will be interesting to see what he does today. He'll declassify some things maybe, and he will pardon some people, and he will go out. If he goes out with a whimper, I'll be shocked. He's going to go out doing something impactful. How's that? Something impactful. And then we move on to we become a dictatorship, an authoritarian form of government where they crack down on all of us, and we probably won't be here much longer, but that's what Reamer voted for. That's what you voted for. You voted forward
to it. Can we do it before you wrap up quick? Can we do a quick follow-up? I want to get Reamer's take on sponsors dropping Justin Thomas, because we talked about it last week. What's your take on that?
I think it's fine, because I think he'll get them back. Yep. I mean, I'm not really crying for Justin Thomas.
You can't support that, Reamer. You went over this last week. You can't support them. He let slip one dumb homophobic slur directed at himself for missing a putt. It was stupid. He apologized profusely. And you want sponsors to take their...
He'll get them back. And like, what if he said the N-word?
First of all, that's much, much worse.
Why? It's the same. Why?
Society has declared it much worse. And you admitted you used the word that Justin Thomas used. You didn't use the word, the N-word, did you?
I've never used any foul language in my life. Nope. but that's the issue. Society says that the three-letter F word is not as bad as the N word, but that's wrong because it's a terrible, heinous word, and it should be the same. If you say that, it should be treated the same as if you were to say the N word.
Did you ever see Usual Suspects, the movie, which is absolutely
spectacular? Of course not.
Great movie, great movie. Stephen Baldwin's in the best performance ever by a Baldwin brother, and they're killers, and he's got a gun. He's a sniper, and he's shooting. And whatever, guys, with this, and he's boom, boom, and he's shooting guys, and he goes, Oswald was a F word. So it's just a dumb line, you know, cute little line talking about Oswald not being as good as he was. And he said, Oswald was an F word. And it was nothing. It meant nothing. Nobody cared. This was, what, 20 years ago, Usual Suspects? Let me guess.
Yeah, 20 years ago, right. The culture, I don't know if you've noticed, Jerry, culture has changed quite a bit over the last 20 years.
But you can't, I know, and so. Some words were not a big deal then, are forbidden now.
Right. Well, because we have more awareness. And I mean, the three-letter F word is a terrible, terrible word. There's nothing funny about it.
But you can't say that about the N word.
What do you mean?
You can't say it has evolved. That was 25 years ago.
Well, there was a time when you could say the N word and it was, you know, it was fine. About 50 years ago. And
I don't know about that. I
mean, 60 years ago. Yeah.
I don't know that it was ever fine, but whatever. Justin Thomas, you are saying it's okay. Cause he'll get their business back.
I think so. They're just making a show of it. Well, I would see what Justin Thomas does now. You know, he had the apology, which I accepted, which is very important on the show last week, but yes. Now we have to see, what does he do to curtail this problem of casual homophobia?
We will be following this story too. I tweeted the other day, I said, I love Bed Bath & Beyond because they were pressured to ban the MyPillow guy, Mike Lindell, and stop selling the MyPillow because all the jackals, the left-wing cretins who do this for, you know, full-time jobs, pressure corporations to cancel people. They wanted Bed Bath & Beyond and other stores to stop selling the MyPillow. Bed Bath & Beyond initially said, no, we're American here. You know, we believe the guy has a freedom of speech, freedom to express himself, and we're not going to stop selling his product. And I commended them. I'm starting to hear that they're bending, that Bed Bath & Beyond is bending. And if they are, you know what? I'm going to say right now, if they bend to the mob, I'm never going there again. I'm never going to shop there again. And I used to love Bed Bath & Beyond.
What was your favorite thing to get there?
Beds. I like Beyond stuff. The Beyond stuff, you know. I'm like, ever seen the movie Click? You don't see any.
Yes, movies. I have seen
Adam Sandler's in Bed Bath & Beyond. Yes. He falls asleep and he has a dream. It's like, yes. It's a wonderful life. That's what I do in Bed Bath & Beyond. If my wife dragged me in, I lay down on the bed and take a nap. We will see.
I don't think that there are no actual beds at Bed Bath & Beyond, correct?
No, it's basically a home goods store.
Yes.
To be honest with you, I go in at gunpoint if I go in at all. I do not like going in there, but I really, really love the store last week. This week, maybe not. We're going to see. We're going to monitor the situation because it's going to be an ongoing theme and it's going to get ugly. And Reamer's team is going to try to cancel us all and try to ban everybody. It's going to get really uncomfortable.
That's right.
Really scary. Yep. Now, if you want to be in the National Guard, you got to vote for Biden, or if you want to be in the Secret Service, you know, you have to prove you voted for the right guy.
Damn.
It is getting a little frightening out there, and Reamer's behind it 100%. But you can read Reamer's stuff everywhere on Substack, at Forbes,
Outsports. Come on, Jerry.
Outsports, of course. Reamer's writing every damn day. How do you follow you on Substack?
Reamer.substack.com. Easy.
Reamer.substack.com. If you want to hear more from this lunatic, check him out. All right, Reamer, thanks. I will. We will talk to you again soon. And thanks to Shea Concrete and Allied Paving in DCU and GovX.com. Anything else, Cullen? I'm sorry I insulted your hero, God.
Yeah, that's inappropriate. What would you say, that Biden is going to save 50,000 lives within his first 100 days?
If you wear masks in the first 100 days, He's ordering us to wear masks. We will save 50,000 lives.
Deshaun Watson is the one saving lives.
That's a good point.
Yesterday, canceling that march, he's the one doing the dirty work. So that's my
Deshaun Watson, who I love as a player. I mean, if I'm a GM, the Jets or the Dolphins, do what it takes. Get him. He's going to be great for a long time. There was a rally in support of Deshaun Watson planned in Houston on MLK Day, which seemed a little bizarre. And he told them, stay home. Don't do it. It's too dangerous. I'm sure they would have socially distanced and masked up, but he probably thought it was a little uncomfortable, a little awkward to have a rally to support a quarterback who, by the way, is not even a free agent. It's not like he's leaving. He might want to get traded because the Texans are a mess, and maybe they'll have to trade him. And maybe, you know, they should if they're rebuilding and the Jets can offer free number ones.
And they should. The Texans should do that. Absolutely.
Right. If you're going to rebuild and someone in the Jets, you know, really want him, the Jets GM, does he send any dick pics to anybody? I forget.
No, you know, Woody Johnson may have, but not.
No, it was Brett Favre was with the Jets.
I was going to say, this is the most famous dick pic in New York since Brett Favre.
That's right.
I have to imagine she's got to be out there, right? What was Jen Sturger?
Yeah.
She's got to be
out
there.
Right.
She did not hide.
I mean, how do they handle this today? All those ESPN shows, Around the Horn shows, their network sat on these pictures or sat on this story for 3 years, more than 3 years. I guess they say, you know, they had to protect her innocence. But if he's been doing this since then they are going to be held accountable. And plus, it's an uncomfortable subject. It's a big story in New York. It's a big story, but it's hard to discuss, you know, like we do, Reamer, without any restrictions. Let's be honest. And I used to work, this would not be allowed. Like I say every damn day, God knows what the hell would be talking about, because most of the topics that we deal with are verboten on sports radio these days, which is why we're sitting here. No. All right. Thanks to everybody for listening and subscribing and rating and reviewing. We appreciate it. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is the Callahan Podcast, and we will do it again tomorrow.
Why am I stopping? No one else stops.
Can I go home?
The Jerry Callahan Podcast.